Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. It is wonderful to gather on this beautiful Sunday morning together. And I want to highlight a few of the announcements in your bulletin. Among other things, the Men's Oyster Roast is coming up, the annual Men's Oyster Roast. And so you, men of the church, that is falling on October 15th from 3 to 7 p.m. You can read more about it in your bulletin or some of the signage around the church. But you can begin RSVPing to the church office, and you can order your raw pints that way too when you make your RSVP. We are continuing through with our weekly Wednesday night supper and series, and grateful that last week we got to hear from Joy Nevin, one of our wonderful members and elders, and a book she had written on retirement. And this week we get to hear from Dr. Tom Miller, one of our members and elders, on his book, Did Jesus Really Rise from the Dead? A Surgeon Scientist Examines the Evidence. Very much hope you can make it out for that presentation this coming Wednesday evening. I will also mention there is a Sunday school classroom. We often call it the Grace Bible classroom, the one on the second floor, end of the hallway near the conference room, if you know the second floor. And that is getting its floors redone this week, which is exciting and helpful given how much that space is used. But looks like they might be coming as early as tomorrow to start doing some work. And so some of those tables and those chairs need to be moved out of that room. If you are able-bodied and have a little time after worship today, we'd welcome any who can go to the second floor and just help get some of those tables and chairs out of the room to prepare for the work to be done this week. I'll try to remind you too at the end of our service. For now, I invite you to stand wherever you are and greet some folks around you.
Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia.
Once more, and together we'll quiet our hearts and minds and open ourselves to the living God.
Thank you. Welcome, family, to the great house of God. Let us worship together this morning. Let us stand and greet the morning together as a family and say together our call to worship found in our bulletin. God, our God, how glorious is your name in all the earth. Your glory is sung by all of your creation. When we look to the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, we wonder, who are we that you care for us and this world?
You are the God of life, crowning us with glory and honor to serve all our days. O God,
our God, how glorious is your name in all the earth.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 93rd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4808. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled, What's in a Name?, will be delivered by Reverend Mr. Holm Lippert. Assisting in the service today are Christopher Martin, our director of music and organist, the Chancel Choir, Christopher Tweel, our associate pastor for Christian education, and Deacon Lisa Cardwell with a moment for ministry. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymns. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergarten. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is From All That Dwell Below the Skies, which is number 33 in the hymn book.
Called to come before God in a spirit of humility and surely a time and a place for confession. So as we join in this confession as one people, let us say this prayer with one voice and take a moment for private reflection in silence at the end of the prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, yours is the name above all names. In your name there is healing and power, hope and life abundant. Yet we act as if that were not true. We place our trust in other names. We trust brand names to give us identity. We trust political names to secure our future. We spend our energy protecting the reputation of our name. In trusting and chasing other names, we take yours in vain. Forgive us, and by the power of your name, renew us, that we might bless your name in all that we say and do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It is easy in our life to go forward and seek other names. The name of God is somewhat of a mystery, Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim. But we are lucky, we are blessed, we are privileged, we are cared for by this mystery, the Am That I Am. So we can be free people. We can go forward without malice, without this curse on our heart and our lives, and be renewed with new life for the name of our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, any of our children who are 6 years and younger who would like to may join Reverend Christopher Tweel, and you all will be heading over to our children's chapel for a worship space together, and parents, you can pick up your children after this service of worship. Let us go to our God in prayer. Holy God, as we come before your word, we ask that our ears would hear it, not just as words spoken into the air, or words on a page, or words of interest, but in fact your living voice in and through these words. We pray that this word would shape us and form us, convict us and encourage us, most assuredly, not leave us the same, but evermore in your likeness. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue through our fall series on the Ten Commandments. A couple weeks ago, we were in the first commandment, which talks about placing God above all other gods, about seeking to know and worship God in every texture of life. And then last week we talked about God and not making images of God, and in particular not containing God to certain ways and certain memories, but letting God as revealed in Scripture be God in all of God's fullness and beauty and love. We move now to the third commandment, which also in its own ways has us focus on the person of God. Exodus 20 verses 2 and then verse 7. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Continuing to our New Testament scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, which also speaks to the name of God. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple weeks ago, someone from the Richmond area came by the church office and dropped by this Stewardship Capital campaign booklet from 1953. Grace Covenant was doing a capital campaign in 1953. They found it in their attic, thought we might like to see this. It's a campaign that was doing a number of things, but at its centerpiece, the installation of the new chapel. That was really the key piece of this campaign. Some of you here may even remember this particular campaign. Well, I took this booklet last week when I got it, and I took it on a visit to Mary and Whit Whitley's house. Many of you know the Whitleys, integral to Grace Covenant's family, longtime members. And I'm visiting with them and their children, and we begin flipping through this book, and immediately there are, you can see, page after page, all of these names are listed. It lists out all of the elders of the church and all of the deacons and all of the ushers guild and all of the people on all these various committees. And the Whitleys, they knew all of the names. Kemp, Williamson, Powell, Adams, Wilson, Doubles, Schilling, Dawson, Garrett, Whittet, Bell, Worthen, Wheeler, Brinkley. We could keep going. And as each name was read, it proved an occasion for a story. And they would share about this and this person and that person and their characteristics and what made them distinct and what made them reputable. It was obvious the folks about whom they were discussing, these were names. People of substance who in small and big ways were instrumental to the strength and growth of this church. I imagine if you had a church, maybe you grew up elsewhere, that church had some names. Your workplace probably has some names, present and past. Your family, you probably have some names. Your field of study or your field of interest probably has some names. Every university has some names. They're usually on the buildings. This city certainly has some names. Begs the question, well, what makes a name a name? What is it about certain names that upon hearing them, we give a measure of respect or awe or deference? What is it about certain names that upon hearing it, we know there is a weightiness to that name? Now, sometimes we show deference because that name has money or power or talent, but I think the names in our church and our companies, our families, our city, the names in the long run that we ultimately end up respecting are the names whose character has shown through as beautiful and strong, as just and loving. Their names carry weight because their character was made known in specific actions. Time and again. The whole of the Bible places a huge stress on the name of God. It's understood that the name of God is uniquely weighty. And so time and again, you read things like, let the Lord be praised, the name of the Lord be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our scripture from Philippians declares that Jesus is the name above all names, the name before whom all will one day bow. And the reason God's name carries such weightiness, is worthy of such full acknowledgement, is because God's actions are weighty with beauty and justice, and love and kindness. This is the God who actively freed the slaves from Egypt. This is the God whose name is most fully revealed in Jesus who actively heals us, frees us, fills us, saves us, redeems us, reconciles us. The name of Jesus is worthy because the acts of Jesus have been and continue to be worthy. This is where the third commandment comes in. It exhorts that we're not to make wrongful use of the Lord's weighty name, or the traditional rendering, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, I imagine many of you who grew up in the church like I did have heard the third commandment is a prohibition against cursing, and in particular when one puts a curse word next to the name of God. And yes, that kind of language absolutely slanders and trivializes the name of God. Were someone to treat some of the names in this book as cheaply, you imagine someone in this church would come along them and say, you know, I don't think you nearly appreciate who it is you're talking about and how much they did for so many. But this commandment goes even further than guarding against the flippant use of God's name. That's there, but the commandment is also much more expansive. The Hebrew for vain, the word we translate as vain, has connotations of empty, groundlessness, or without substance. The point being that we are not to empty God's name of weighty substance, or put positively, it's a command then to fill the name of God with weightiness and with substance. And we say, okay, practically what does that mean? And why, by the way, would any of us ever be in a position to either empty or fill God's name? The summer before I went to college, I worked in the office area of our family business, a manufacturing company in Cincinnati called Hamilton Castor. I was put to work assisting with various projects, most of them involving cleaning up and clearing out spreadsheets of data on the computer. And somewhere in the middle of that summer, I found myself working on a project. It was fairly important. I just didn't really like it. And so I decided one day I would not show up for work. No illness or anything, just wanted to roll over, sleep, and do my own thing. Now, I knew my dad, who had worked at the family business for years. He'd noticed my absence. He would say something. But I entirely underestimated how upset he was. When he arrived home that evening, it was obvious that he was deeply disappointed with me, and he would not tolerate a choice like that again. He made that clear in just a couple of sentences, and then he said this: you need to remember, you are a Lippert. I had forgotten my name. And that was that. There was no punishment, there was no long speech, straightforward reminder about my name, and I didn't need anything else. My dad was reminding me that I bear the name of a lot of people in that company. First, my great-great-grandfather, John Veagle, who founded the company, and then my great-grandmother, Esther Lippert, who then ran the company, and then Ralph Lippert, Esther's husband, who then was president for a long time, and then Dave Lippert, my uncle, Bob Lippert, my grandfather, and then Dave Lippert, my uncle. And they have all worked hard to build a company that prioritizes quality and excellence across the board. They've put their names behind it and into it. My dad was not upset because 8 hours of computer work were lost. The issue was that a child of the Lippert family did not show up to work for no good reason. It was a betrayal of the family name. It was an emptying the family name of good substance. When we are baptized as Christians, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now our name is subsumed into God's name. As baptized people, we are children of God and so bearers of God's name. And so we do not show up to our workplace with whatever title it is we've been given. Most fundamentally, we show up to our workplace bearing the name of Jesus. And we do not show up to our classroom or our neighborhood association only as a student or a volunteer, but most fundamentally, we show up bearing the name of Jesus. And we don't show up on social media with only our name or our handle. Most fundamentally, we show up bearing the name of Jesus. And this church resides here in the fan, bearing the name, yes, of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church and Grace Covenant Child Development Center, but most fundamentally, we the people bear the name of Jesus at this address. Others of us are called by God to bear the name of God in very specific ways in the church. Those of you who are married, you have been declared married in the church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your marriage and how it unfolds bears the name of Jesus. Some of you are called by God to serve as elders and deacons in the church. And once you're called, that's a lifelong calling that is understood as a specific call to be done in the name of Jesus. We make that vow in His name. And so when folks answer the call, they respond to some weighty questions up front. I'm not going to read them all, but elders, for instance, respond in the affirmative to this. Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Christ Jesus? And then the deacons, they've got a bunch of questions too, but specifically, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? You see, as Christians in general, as married people specifically, as officers of the church specifically, in all these ways, we very much bear the name of Jesus. And so at all times, we as the people of God are in a position to either fill or empty the family name of substance. And of course, the truth is, whether it's just because we grow selfish or we're not interested in the very important work that God has for us right now, or we just want to roll over and go to sleep on the world, asleep on our marriage, asleep on our own church, whatever it is, too often the truth is we do, in fact, take Jesus' name in vain. The third commandment is a wake-up call to any of us who've been baptized, and especially any who've taken further oaths in Jesus' name, because it goes on to say, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. God cares a great deal about the family name and the commitments made in that name. Now, Exodus does not have the final word on all of this. The Gospels, we read how Jesus calls every kind of person to follow me, take up the name of Jesus. And Jesus knows this means the church is going to be filled with half-hearted and weak people who sometimes flat out don't show up for the work of God's kingdom. And they make the family name look bad or lazy or uncaring. And yet Jesus does not kick us out. My dad did not kick me out of the Lippert family that day. In fact, in one sense, it would have been impossible because my DNA forever says, I'm in, like it or not. And the truth is, if you've been baptized in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so bear that name, Scripture says you've been in the family actually since before the foundation of the world. It's an almost inconceivable thing. Thought, but the point of the promise is the family roots run deep. You're not going anywhere. No, Jesus does not kick us out of the family when we empty Jesus' name of substance, nor does Jesus berate us with punishments and long speeches. What Jesus normally does is remind us again of our name. When I went back to Hamilton Castor that next day, I purposely slowed to look more closely at one particular wall in the office that my dad had mentioned I might want to notice. And I scanned across this particular part of the wall to see a photo of great-grandpa John Veagle, great-great-grandpa John Veagle, great-grandma Esther, great-grandpa Ralph, and then a photo of grandpa Bob Lippert, and then a photo of Uncle Dave. Because sometimes you need to slow a while and let it sink in just whose name you bear. One of the most fundamental reasons that we gather every Sunday and worship without exception is because we so need to slow down and remember our name. We don't have a wall of photos to help accomplish that, but we do have this sanctuary with some very key visuals. We have a baptismal font. It says so much about the name that we bear. Reminds us we are made new in the Holy Spirit and therefore called to live according to the fruit of the Spirit, a people of peace and patience, a people of kindness and generosity. It reminds us we are a people who boldly seek forgiveness because we've had those waters of forgiveness wash over us. It reminds us we have a basic call to be the people of Jesus who give water to those who are thirsty, and to give words of water, encouragement and hope and life to those souls who are thirsty. And as our eyes continue to scan, we see the table. It says so much about the name we bear. It reminds us we are a people who gather visibly and regularly at the table. There is no in and out briefly on Sunday kind of thing when it comes to being the family of Jesus Christ. It reminds us of our basic call to extend hospitality as just fundamental to our faith. That happens among one another, but we remember we bear the name of Jesus, and so that means extending hospitality to people who might make folks murmur, the stranger, the immigrant, the refugee. It reminds us, of course, at that table that we are baptized as a family of folks from every tribe, tongue, and ethnicity. And in this week where racial strife and violence have again welled up and raised uncomfortable questions and opened this country's wound that shows little sign of healing soon. Boy, this country needs the people of Jesus to show that that name has substance and lead the way, therefore, invisibly bringing together the family of God on earth as it is in heaven. Visibly across lines of blue and red and rich and poor and black and white that our culture would have us draw, but about which this table knows nothing. And of course, our eyes continue to scan the sanctuary and every week they catch the raised pulpit. We are reminded that if we are bearing the name of Jesus, and if that has any substance, then we are people called to take the word of God seriously. We will listen to God's word and listen for life through that word. We will wrestle with God's word alongside one another. We will open ourselves to hear from the Holy Spirit and be changed. If that is something that intimidates you, you think, well, where do I even start? It's been a while. Honestly, later this afternoon, tomorrow, flip over to Philippians 2, the scripture that was just read today. There is so much truth and beauty packed in Philippians chapter 2. You can start there. Today, as with every Sunday, Jesus has called us, in all of our faults and failings, to return again and live out the family name. We have been reminded we are a people of water and table and word. Has one of those three caught your heart again this morning? Is God calling you to live with substance in a way that has been prompted by one of these three? Then go in boldness. And do it as Paul exhorts time and again, do it in the name of Jesus. Because in that name there is unparalleled power and healing and hope. Indeed, one day every knee shall bow and tongue confess the name of love, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you to stand together as we sing, "We Praise You, O God."
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled, "What's in a Name?" which was delivered by Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing, "We Praise You, O God." is printed in the bulletin but is not available in either of the hymn books.
I invite you to remain standing as together we confess what it is we believe about the God in whose name we have life. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer to our God. Our gracious God, we praise your name. We bless your name. We give thanks that your name is weighty and full of goodness and life. Indeed, we turn to your word and we consider just some of the many ways your name is given expression. You are called Elohim, Creator, and we give thanks for the beauty of your creation, for this spectacular fall morning, for the way you have brought life in so many ways and so many places that please our eye, and we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would guard your creation, you would make us faithful and good stewards of all that you've entrusted to us. You are called Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. We give thanks that you do time and again provide. You provide our daily sustenance. You provide us with family and food and jobs. You provide us when it looks like doors are about to close. And you provide all around the world. And we pray boldly where there is not enough provision, and there are so many with not nearly enough, that you would make your name known and make yourself faithful, and you would equip your church here and around the world to make your name full, that you might be known as the great provider. You are called Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. We give thanks that with just the touch of your hand, you have and you do heal. You heal illnesses within the soul. You heal illnesses of our body. We ask that you would lay your hand upon every name and face who this day is ill. Some are loved ones. Some are those in our workplace. Some are those in our neighborhood. Some of those are our very selves. Place your hand on each of these and make your name, Yahweh Rapha, known in fullness. You are called El Shaddai, God Almighty, and we give thanks for your goodness and strength. May we know your strength and courage as we step into this week seeking to be faithful disciples of you. We give thanks that your strength is such that it has overcome even the grave. Assure us again that death does not have the final say in our lives. Assure those who may be nearing that moment that you are El Shaddai, that you are more powerful than the grave, that they have life and life eternal with you. You are called Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace, and we know how desperately we need your name in all fullness to be known in our land. Our land which is ravaged and divided and torn, and the violence continues to erupt, and it gets so complex and we don't even know where to start. We often find ourselves simply in lament and grief. But your name is Yahweh Shalom. Make your name known in fullness. May your peace burst forth in the most surprising ways and places. And may your peace grab us, your church especially. And may we be a people who do not settle for a simplistic peace that avoids the chaos and the problem, but seeks a true peace where we reconcile at table and in conversation and in prayer across the lines that usually divide. You are called Yahweh Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Lead us faithfully as a church, in and through those elders and deacons you have called. Lead us faithfully. Make your name known fully and beautifully through them. And most fundamentally, you are called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Fill us again with your very self. Remind us this is the name we bear. Help us to truly hallow your name in all that we say and do. And now together we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite one of our deacons up, Lisa Cardwell. As you know, each week in the month of September and October, we are having a different officer of the church come forward and share what God is doing in and through and around their ministry. We've heard from Christian education, and we've heard from worship, and we give thanks for what God has been doing in those arenas, and now we have an opportunity to hear from fellowship today.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Cardwell, a deacon and chair of the fellowship committee. Last year, Bobby asked the deacons to prayerfully consider which of the 12 ministries assigned to the diaconate that we felt drawn to and would agree to lead for the year 2016. I asked that the Holy Spirit would push me or nudge me to one that would help me grow in my faith, but might not be the most comfortable necessarily for me. I found myself agreeing to be the chair of the fellowship committee. Now, I'm not extremely organized, and I'm very often do things at the last minute, so I knew serving as the chair of this committee would be somewhat challenging. I also knew working on this committee would push me to offer opportunities for us to be together in Christian fellowship. Each week, we meet to worship, sing hymns of praise, and pray together to the living God. Also, each week, after worship, We meet down the hall in the social room to share a glass of punch and catch up with each other. We hear what has been going on in the lives of our friends. We meet new members and guests and celebrate happy occasions together. This year, we have celebrated many joyful occasions together, and we have shared many delicious cakes to help with those celebrations. We said, thank you for your service and best wishes on cakes for our seminary interns, Linda Pitts and Lauren Boyles, and to Samson and Gershon, our friends from Africa. We said congratulations while eating cake and celebrating with Christopher Tweel on his ordination. And sometime late in the spring, the deacons decided that having cake to celebrate baptisms would be fun and a way to say welcome to our family. I have loved seeing all of the good and joyful gifts God has given us this past year, all reasons to give thanks and celebrate. There are 3 months left in this year, and we'll have many more opportunities to share cake together. October will bring 2 more baptisms, and we have a special event planned for October 30th. On that day, after worship, the stewardship and fellowship committees will host a church-wide harvest brunch downstairs in the fellowship hall. We will celebrate Pledge Sunday together and give thanks to God for his faithfulness to us and for all he has done for our church and our church family. If you're interested in lending your talents to help with this celebration, I hope you will talk with me or any member of the diaconate. It will be a great way to celebrate in Christian fellowship, and I promise you we will have cake. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, for sharing. She reminds us one of the ways we are people of the table. And I love how she shared honestly here. I've got this and this shortcoming and this I'm not sure about, but Holy Spirit, just nudge me where I can grow. And she dove in, and really that's the invitation to all of us as we hear these testimonies. Is the Holy Spirit nudging you to dive in a certain way, with a certain committee, a certain ministry opportunity? You hear each of these people that gets up here talks about how meaningful that has been when they do, in fact, dive in. And Lisa's offered a very specific opportunity. Sunday, October 30th, after worship, when we offer our pledge for 2017, we're going to gather for a big brunch, a celebration, and it's going to be one where a few hands are needed to really bring that together. Talk with Lisa if you want to dive in on that specific one. We continue on in our worship, considering how we steward not only our time, our talents, but our monetary resources. We bear the name of a generous God, and we make that name weighty. At least one of the ways we make it weighty is in how we steward our financial resources. And you're invited in this space of worship to give as God is leading you, and as well as those offering plates come around, please do let us know you're here with the communication card in your bulletin. And please, if there are ways we can be praying for you or giving thanks alongside you, put those down and the care team will lift those up this week. You're invited to give as you're led. Our gracious God, we give thanks that you are a God who sows love. We give thanks that you are a God who pardons, that you are a God of light, that in you there is joy, that in you we have life and life eternal. We give thanks, and so take these, our tithes, our offerings as an expression of that thanks, and may these bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we make our prayer and give our thanks. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing together, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Couple reminders immediately following worship. As always, you're invited down the hallway to the social room for food and drink and time to catch up and practice being a people of the table. Speaking of tables, the property committee would welcome your help if you're able-bodied. Right after worship, Lewis Roseborough will be up on the second floor at the end of the hallway. Our Grace Bible classroom needs some tables and chairs cleared out of it because we've got a group coming in tomorrow to redo the floor and so forth, and it turns out we need to get moving on this. So Lewis will meet you there if you're able to just after worship. Kemp, Williamson, Powell, Adams, Wilson, Doubles, Schilling, Dawson, Garrett, Wittett, Bell, Worthen, Wheeler, Brinkley, and there's a lot more in this booklet. you're a member of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church, at some level, you bear these names. But then all who've been baptized, the font and the table and the word, all most fundamentally bear the name who is above all names, Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may you make that name weighty this week. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. You're also welcome to join us each Wednesday night for a Wednesday night supper and program beginning at 6 p.m. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineer was Steve Kemp. This service streams live and can be accessed through the church's website, which is grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.